chapter 11. Well, actually, 10, 11, and 12. Pardon me? So we've talked about, in the last several weeks, the plagues that God has brought on Egypt with the purpose of freeing the nation of Israel to out from underneath their bondage, and then to, we know their future is to travel to the promised land that God has promised the nation of Israel that he will provide for them. We also have seen that there are other purposes involved in God's working in the nation of Israel. And if you stop and think about it, God works in all sorts of ways, all sorts of time, in people's lives. It's not like one track. There's a situation going on here. Pastor and Jerry, pastor's retiring. Their situation is going to change. He's working in their life in a different way than he will be working maybe in our lives as a congregation. We're seeking a new pastor. All the changes that go on in your life, it may affect you, it may affect other people at the same time. And God works through all those ways, or through all those things in different ways in different people's lives. And we saw that. He wanted to present to the people of Egypt, I am God. I am the only God. I am the powerful God, the creator of the universe. And we saw that in three different times. He gave that message. Pharaoh said, I don't believe in God, and I don't accept his authority. And God says, okay, Pharaoh, I will show you. And through these plagues, we've seen not only God showing that, but working in different lives as well, and even showing the nation of Egypt the truth about their false gods, because we saw that each of these in different ways was a direct confrontation to the gods that people in Egypt worship. So we came to the next to the last plague, the plague of darkness. Darkness in Egypt, but light in the land of Goshen. And Israel didn't have to deal with that. And even if you stop for a minute and think about the miraculousness, is that a word? Of that. How can it be dark there? Completely dark. Dark, Scripture says. Intense darkness for three whole days, and nobody went anywhere because they couldn't see where they were going. And yet here, there's light, and they just went about their business. So anyhow, so we talked about that, and then in verse 11, we read some of this last week, the order in which some of these verses seem to fall. God has told Moses to tell Pharaoh, chapter 11, verse 4 through 10, we read that last week, that there's one more plague coming. And that plague is, and Moses saith, thus saith the Lord, as he's talking to Pharaoh, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, everyone, and the firstborn of the beasts. We'll read more about these later. And there will be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. A one-time occurrence that's never happened before and will never happen again. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. In other words, there's not even going to be a dog barking in, why does a dog bark? Because he's startled, because he's alerted of somebody. There's not even so much as that against anybody in the nation of Israel, which isn't even a threat at all. But anyhow, the contrast between all the firstborn dying in the nation of Israel, not even a dog barking and startling somebody. Against the man or beast that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. And we've seen that before, even in the plagues. God protected Israel, except for the first three, against any of those plagues. But Egypt had to go through those, and he separated them. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger or indignation. This is the last time that, well, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. So God tells Moses, after he leaves Pharaoh, after he tells Pharaoh about this last plague that's going to take place, that Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So God had more purpose than just getting the people out. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened his heart. Again, Pharaoh had plenty of opportunities to say, yes, you can go. But at some point, God said, I've got other purposes, and you're not going to have that opportunity. So he would not let the people go out of Israel or go out to his land. So we come to chapter 12, and chapter 12 talks about, you probably got a title in your Bible as you're looking at it, talks about the Passover being instituted. The Passover is something that they celebrate even to this day. And as we read this next chapter 12, we're going to see how this fits in with chapters 10 and 11. See, I'm going to cover 10, 11, and 12, but it's going to be sneaky how I'm going to fit them in here. But let's read chapter 12, what we have here. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, so God has given this instruction to Moses and to Aaron, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is the first month of your calendar year. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel. So I have a message for the Israelites, for the congregation of Israel, and this is what I want you to tell him. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. What are we supposed to do with this lamb? And this lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take of it out of the sheep or from out of the goats. So a male goat was allowed as well as a male sheep, if that was necessary. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. I wanted to take a note of that. They were supposed to find it and bring it into their house when? The 10th day. They're supposed to keep it until when?
14th day.
So you're bringing either this goat or this lamb into your house for
4 days.
Keep that in mind. Okay, as we continue. We're going to go through the Passover, and then we're going to jump back here a little bit. And you should keep the 14th day of the same month, and the whole congregation of the congregation of Israel shall kill in that evening. So here's the instructions for that. And you shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Okay, here we go. Eat of it, or eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water. Sodden means boiled. So don't eat it raw or boiled. Interesting here, that would be a health issue, right? Eating raw meat, as well as the fact that many pagan gods were worshipped by eating raw meat. So he says, I don't want you doing anything with that. But roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, or the entrails. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning. So if there is anything left that you don't eat, you shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, you're supposed to eat it packed and ready to go. Well, it didn't say how long you had to eat, but eat with haste. There you go.
I'm always hurrying.
So that is how you're not sitting down relaxing at dinner. You are supposed to eat with this attitude of, I'm ready to go. And that's what he's trying to get across here. You need to be ready to go. And we know later on why this takes place. But anyhow, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite. And this night really should be that night, better interpreted that way. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night or that night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days, and then it talks about something else. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Egypt. So obviously this is something that's important as well, because you don't want to be, I'm sorry, did I say cut off from Egypt? Cut off from Israel. So the Israelites were supposed to do this, and God says if you eat leavened bread in these specific 7 days, you're going to be what? Outcast. You're no longer part of the nation of Israel. So obviously this is something he wants them to do. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for or to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. In other words, obviously you got to eat, so you're allowed to do that. And that only be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance. For how long? Forever. And they still do observe Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, they thoroughly clean their house. Every single corner, they want to make sure they get any leaven at all out of their house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, when ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 21st day of the month. 1 and 21st day, yeah. 1 and 20th day. So, did you get the... So, the first month, 10th day, you what? Remember?
Get the lamb
or the he-goat. 14th day of that month, you what? Kill it and
eat it
and sprinkle the blood over the post. On the first month, on the 14th day, you start eating what? Unleavened bread until the 21st day. Okay, so we've got the timeline here. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. And that's where they get the not just on no leaven in the house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So either way. And ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall you eat nothing or shall eat unleavened bread. So here's the instructions that God gave to Moses. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take to you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. So he's giving the instructions to the leaders in Israel and the people. Strike the lintel and the two side parts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood on the lintel and on the two sides of the post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into or come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons, how long? Forever. And it shall come to pass when ye shall come to the land which the Lord shall give you, according to he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? And ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passeth over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our homes. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Okay, now back up to chapter 11. The end of chapter 10, chapter 11. We talked about this a little bit last week. So if at the end of the 3 days of darkness, Pharaoh called Moses into him, and that's chapter 10, verses 24 through the end of that chapter, 29. Remember, he came in and talked to him, and Pharaoh says, go serve, only let your flock stay. And Pharaoh's trying to compromise and get Moses to compromise and the nation of Israel to compromise with what God told them to do. And Moses says, no, we can't do that. We got to take everything with us. And verse 28, and Pharaoh said unto him, get thee out from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses says in the next verse, I will see thy face again no more. Excuse me. And then it fits that before he left, verses in chapter 11, verses 4 through 10 took place. So chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 is a little side note. So put that off to the side in your mind as a side note. That was something that God had told Moses separate from this occasion. And then verse 4, and Moses saith, thus saith the Lord. So after Pharaoh made his statement, before Moses left, he says unto Pharaoh, because it doesn't say he went into Pharaoh again, but it does say, thus saith the Lord. And he tells him about, it says, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. So Moses says to Pharaoh, at midnight, this is what's going to take place. And that goes through the end of chapter 11. Chapter 12 talks about God instituting the Passover. And you had to keep, if this follows in chronological order, and after Moses tells Pharaoh that death is coming to the firstborn, and then the Passover is instituted, it doesn't follow time, it doesn't mesh time-wise. So chapter 12, verses 1 through 28 that we just read, more than likely was given to Moses prior to the plague of darkness. And the 3 days, right? Dark for 3 days, and then Moses went to talk to Pharaoh. Would have been on the fourth day, couldn't have been the 3 days because he wouldn't have been able to find his way to Pharaoh, right? So on that fourth day, so if God had given this instruction to the nation of, or to Moses and the nation of Israel, those 3 days of darkness would have been when they had that lamb or he-goat in their homes preparing for what God was about to do. Pharaoh calls Moses in after the 3 days of darkness on that fourth day and says, you can't go, after their discussion. And Moses says, that's right, but God is going to present to you another plague this night at midnight. Okay, see how the timeline works? And then at midnight that takes place, because if we jump over to chapter 12, verse 29, it says, and it came to pass at midnight. Okay, so it's a little confusing if you read down through there because these things kind of jump around time-wise. That seems to work best for me. So God institutes the Passover, something that the nation of Israel has to do in faith that God will keep his promise that the firstborn in their house would not die. After all, it was a promise, right? And they had to do something in belief to show that they believed that God would pass over their homes, right? God makes us promises too, right? Does he expect some action on our part? Yeah, he most certainly does, in belief that we believe that he's going to keep those promises. I know this buzzer's rung and the second buzzer's coming. Something else I want to talk about. Chapter 12, verse 14 says, and this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. It says that more than once. You are to keep these observances forever. Why?
So you don't
forget. Okay. We don't forget, right? Yeah, we forget all the time, right? As a matter of fact, it says in verse 26 of chapter 12, and it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, why are you doing this? And you're going to say what? Because this is what God did. And we remember this so that we remember what God did. Something that's got me thinking about. Do we have observances?
Sure.
Like? Give me one. What? Communion. We observe communion for a purpose, just to have a little bread and a little juice, right? No. So that we don't forget what God has done. Maybe what's something else we observe? Pardon me?
Baptism.
Okay. Being baptized and showing that we're baptized the lives long. I mean, we observe Christmas, right? Unfortunately, Christmas has become something it should never be, but we can still observe it as remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The point I'm trying to make here is maybe we should, like Israel, set aside sometimes personally where God has done something for us. I'm not going to make it through this. Emily just mentioned, excuse me.
Friends of the family.
Thanks. God provided, right, in her circumstance. Maybe should mark that day in every year. Remember. Yeah. Bonnie's sitting back here. She's a miracle. When Joel was born, she almost died. Huh? Matter of fact, she had something called DIC, disseminated something or another. I can't remember the name of it. The nurses call that, Gene knows, death is coming because your blood doesn't clot and you basically bleed out. They filled her back up a full, a full oil change. She's here because God saved her. Maybe so we don't forget. We should be setting aside some days to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Take that to heart. You're dismissed.